Welcome to Locked On Yankees. I'm Jesse Spector, and I'm the editor of LockedOnYankees.com. I'm a lifelong New Yorker. I'm a former Daily News and Sporting News guy, and I'm now found in a variety of places as a freelancer, including here. It'll be fun. Let's have fun. And the fun continues for the Yankees. 16 wins out of 17 games now. They are tied with the Boston Red Sox for the best record in baseball after their 3-2 win on Tuesday night, in the opener of this three-game series in the Bronx. Things are good for the Yankees. Carlos Stanton hit two home runs. A little later, talk about exactly why Luis Severino is still 5-1 and not 6-1, because he should be 6-1, and this game should not have gone to the dramatic lengths that it did necessarily. But I think the Yankees can still be pretty happy about the way things turned out. I'll also talk a little bit about David Price getting scratched and sort of what that means farther down the road for the Yankees. Not so much in terms of David Price, but I think it raises an issue. So all that's going on, but really this game, Giancarlo Stanton, two home runs as a DH, almost scored a third run in the eighth inning, after the Yankees had taken the lead on the Aaron Judge single in the seventh. But Stanton was great. Judge needed that hit that he got, and it was a laser to left field to break the 2-2 tie. Gleyber Torres goes 1-for-2 with a walk in his first taste of Yankees-Red Sox. He was also thrown out at the plate rather hilariously. Don't think that he ran through a stop sign by Phil Nevin, but you know, that was still what it was. Also made an error. Yankees, not great defense as a trend for this season continues, but their pitching staff struck out 14 guys, so you know, not that many balls are actually hit at them or to them, so that doesn't matter too much at all. Neil Walker continues his awakening, revival. Had a pinch hit double off Heath Hembry to start the rally that the Yankees had to take the lead in this game. So all of that was good and fine and wonderful and dandy, and that was how it went. Neil Walker's now up to 198 with his batting average, which is higher than Gary Sanchez. Sanchez is at 193. After an over 3 for him, and it's higher than it's the same as Brett Gardner. Gardner's at 198. Gardner did not look good going after that Mookie Betts triple that tied the game in the top of the 7th inning off of David Robertson. So there's that as well to think about. Brett Gardner, I don't think is quite at the level of geez, why can't Jacoby Ellsbury get healthy and take this guy's job? But Brett Gardner, like, we're a week into May now, and he has not looked really at all this season the way that you expect Brett Gardner to look in really any way, shape, or form. And I think that, you know, this all goes back, and there was a piece on LockedOnYankees.com, Ryan Leonardo wrote, that was, I really think on the money. Like, as well as the Yankees play, the Yankees have the best record in baseball now. Tied for the best record in baseball with the Red Sox, with whom they've split their four games this series. This year so far, 2-2. And we'll see what happens the rest of this three-game series and then all the games that they have against each other the rest of the way this season after that. But as good as the Yankees' record is, there's a lot of ways in which they've kind of stunk all year long. Like, Brett Gardner hadn't been right the whole year. You know, Giancarlo Stanton has had, this is his third two-homer game now. He hasn't done a whole lot else. Gary Sanchez, you know, has hit home runs. His defensive work has been less than great and played an important role in this game. I know that it's overall the Packers. I'm not one of these people that harps on Gary Sanchez's defense, but I feel like he has lapses defensively that cost them, and that's really where he needs to worry. He needs to make the important plays at the important times, and sometimes that just doesn't happen. And he's, you know, really not hit. You know, he's hit home runs, but he hasn't hit a whole lot else. Gardner's looked just awful. Like, he's looked like a shell of himself, which is a shame to see. And I don't think that this is, you know, the Brett Gardner that we're going to see the whole season. I just don't. I still believe in Brett Gardner, but he's not had a good start to this season. He surely has not. David Robertson just blew his third save. We're on May 8th. So, yeah, there's a lot that's going great for the Yankees. They're 25-10 through 35 games. You know, that's fantastic. And they are tied with the Red Sox for the best record in baseball. They are cruising already towards October, one way or another. You know, the division race is going to be something all year. But the Yankees, I think, are very, very clearly what we knew they would be, which is a playoff team. But they have, it's incredible, as good as they've been, they have not fully hit their stride. They will. They're too good not to. And when that does happen, look out, because, you know, you see the talent that's there right now. The idea that this team is going to get better should scare everybody. So, one down against the Red Sox, two to go. And one segment of this showdown, and two to go. So, before we get to the next part, I would like to tell you that if you'd like to advertise on Locked On Yankees, you should. And you can do so by sending an email to LockedOnNYY@gmail.com. That's LockedOnNYY@gmail.com. All right, so Luis Severino did not get a decision in Tuesday night's game. Probably should have been the winning pitcher if things had gone appropriately, but they did not do so. I think Severino was failed very clearly on two counts, one by his catcher, one by his manager. As far as the catcher goes, Gary Sanchez did not catch the third strike on Eduardo Nunez's strikeout in the fifth inning. So Nunez went to first base. Severino struck out the next two guys. Should have been out of the inning, right? Well, he wasn't. Red Sox wound up getting a run that inning. Severino threw 17 more pitches than he really should have or needed to. And the result of that is that he comes through six innings having thrown 99 pitches. And that puts Boone in a position where Boone has to make this decision of what's he going to do. Is he going to have Severino start the seventh with 99 pitches, or is he going to go to the bullpen? And I think that the right move here is to go to the bullpen. If you've got a guy who you don't think is going to make it through an inning, unless there's, you know, extraordinary circumstances, you kind of just have to take it that, yeah, that fifth inning and the extra pitches that Severino threw there are pitches that cost him the seventh inning of this game. Yeah, Severino's usually a guy that can go seven for you, but these are high-stress pitches against the Red Sox. Even when he's cruising the way that he was, and he struck out 11 dudes, he was great. He was great. But even in that kind of situation, it's against the Red Sox, it's a big game in a big series, and those are high-stress pitches. This is something I think is something that Boone can learn from. Because, yeah, 99 pitches, you figure, well, he can get me a batter or two. Well, you know, this is how quickly things can turn in Yankees Red Sox. And that is exactly what happened. Because the next thing you know, Nunez has a 10-pitch at-bat. So you're only getting through one batter. And then that batter winds up reaching on an infield single. Didi Gregorius made a nice play on it. It was a slowly hit ball, decent throw, better throw probably gets him, but, you know, it's a tough throw on the run. Tyler Austin did not scoop it out at first base. So Nunez gets on. The Yankees bring in David Robertson. Robertson pays all this attention to Nunez at first base. So much attention to Nunez at first base. Throws over there when Nunez is standing on the base, and you see Nunez is standing there smiling, like, I can't believe this dude is still throwing over. Nunez winds up stealing second base. The throw had him, but his back knocked the ball off on the tag. What can he do? And then Mookie Betts triples, and you have a tie game, and everything else is set up the rest of the night, and Severino doesn't get the win that he deserves. He should be 6-1 right now, but he's not. You have this Yankees bullpen, and they had a day off on Monday. And I know this is second-guessing now, but I'm not doing the podcast live. I didn't like it when it was happening, that they were letting Severino, because he had thrown those extra pitches. And it's just one of those, you want, and I know David Robertson has a history of being able to get out of trouble, and that he's the guy that you want to probably bring in there. You know, Dylan Betances has that history as well. You wouldn't bring him in right now, and I think that's where Robertson has struggled this season, is, you know, when he's come in the situations with men on base, it's a hinky thing. Like, it's just one of those things that, like, you get into these runs where sometimes you're awesome at it and sometimes it just doesn't go your way. Because sometimes Robertson, you know, he's great at getting out of trouble, but usually it's trouble that he's gotten himself into. I don't like bringing him in with runners on base quite as much. I'd rather let him load the bases of his own accord and then do his Houdini act to get out of it. Same as Betances. And Betances, I'd actually be a little bit more willing to bring in with the men on base, because he's shown that ability, you know, at least in the past, to come in and get the guy with the big strikeout. But it's such a rough thing. You really want your relievers, if possible, the ideal thing to do with relievers is have them come in and pitch a clean inning. There's very few relievers with whom that's not the case, because, you know, for one thing, what if they don't have it? What if they just don't have it, and you're already giving them a guy on base? So I think that's something that Boone needs to consider, especially in games like this. And I know that Severino's your ace, and he's a guy that you want to lean on. But also, now you've pushed him to 109 pitches in this start. You know, what does that mean for his next time through the rotation? Because this game came, at least, with the day off. His next start's going to be, you know, in another regular turn against the A's. How's that going to... What kind of effect is that going to have? Because Severino threw a lot of pitches in his last start, too. You know, he threw 110. He's thrown as many as 112 this year. And I guess that may be where his comfort zone is, in that sort of, you know, 105 to 115 range, and maybe that's where you're happy with him. But it's also pretty early in the season with a guy who, still, as good as he is, he's 24. I'd like to see a little bit more caution here. And I would have liked to have seen that in this game in particular, and not have things unfold the way that he did. Like I said, Luis Severino should be sitting here at 6-1 right now. And he's not. And, you know, Gary Sanchez and Aaron Boone can both take their share of the blame on that. But it's also something to grow from and learn from. And, you know, not the end of the world. As I keep promising, we will get to the day when we talk about wins and exactly how much they matter and what they're good for. Tonight, not as much. So stay tuned for that, and of course, to make sure that you hear the episode when we do get to that, be sure to subscribe to Locked On Yankees, which you can do on iTunes, or Stitcher, or Google Play, or Last.fm, or Podbean, or any of them, wherever it is that you're getting your podcast. Be sure to do that, and you'll hear the episodes with me, you'll hear the episodes with Larry Fleischer, you'll hear the episodes with Omari Brown, you'll hear the episodes with Sean Sajak and Gary Phillips. So do that. Subscribe. And if you're not able to subscribe where you want to subscribe, let us know. Send an email to lockedonnyy@gmail.com. Or tweet to @LockedOnYankees. Thanks for doing that, and thanks for sticking with us. All right, let's wrap this up today with you don't want to see anybody get hurt, and David Price being unable to make his scheduled start is a shame. He's got numbness in his hand that started during his first start against the Yankees this season back at Fenway 3 weeks ago. He's pitched since then and has not pitched particularly well since then, and it's something that has come back to get him. And yeah, it's a shame. It's not good for baseball for David Price to not be right, because he's, you know, I know the problems that he's had in Boston with the media there and all that, but he's a good guy for baseball to have be good, be at his best, be a spokesman of the game and an ambassador of the game and one of the faces of the game when he's on. You don't want to see him hurt. You don't want to see anybody hurt. But I do think that between Price and, you know, we see Matt Harvey get traded to the Reds, and you get the, it's such a weird thing that if you'd say, like, Matt Harvey's going to get traded to the Reds, and so many teams are going to feel like they dodged a bullet. Like, if you'd said that 3 years ago, it would be unfathomable. But that's really why I think that, you know, when you come down to it this year, and you can look at Sonny Gray and his struggles since he's been with the Yankees as well. I know he was pretty good down the stretch last year, but he wasn't a big factor in the playoffs because the Yankees didn't have the greatest amount of trust in him. You look at Jordan Zimmermann and what happened since he got to Detroit. And yeah, there are free agent pitching signings that work out well. And Max Scherzer is the one that comes most readily to mind. But I really think, and I think this more and more, that the Yankees are going about things the right way as far as their minor league system is concerned, which is just accruing as many big arms as they can and seeing what they can develop. And you've already seen, you know, you've seen what Luis Severino has become. And yeah, he's at a different kind of level. But look at what Domingo Germán is right now. You know, he's a guy that's able to step into the rotation. And yeah, it's only one start that he threw six no-hit innings, but he also looked pretty good in the four innings in Houston. And that's Houston, Cleveland that he's faced, you know, in significant amounts of work. Those are two really good teams. And yeah, tape's going to get out on Germán, and he's going to have his struggles. But you build up your organizational depth, and you build your pitching that way. You build your pitching from within, and you work with young pitchers the most that you can. Because when you go onto the free agent market, and you start shoveling dollars and years at pitchers, look, it worked out great for the Yankees with CC Sabathia. Or did it? As good as CC was last year, as good as he's been this year, was the entirety of that contract really a good thing? He had three really pretty miserable years at big money during that contract. And it's part of the reason the Yankees wound up in sell mode in 2016 is the precipitous decline that CC Sabathia had. That's part of it. So, you know, Carl Pavano, you go back to that, you look at, you know, how really dissatisfying the David Price signing has been for Boston in so many ways. I think that, you know, when it comes time to look at the free agent market this winter, if you're the Yankees, you stay away from pitching if you can. And I know that, you know, the pitching isn't as strong as the hitting anyway. Like, even a Clayton Kershaw, if he opts out in L.A., I know it's crazy to say, but is that the road that you want to go down? Or would you rather use some of your organizational depth and make trades for pitchers who aren't going to command the same kind of term and dollars? And I know that the dollars don't mean as much after this year, when the Yankees don't care as much about the luxury tax threshold because they're going over this winter. But I think they've got to prioritize the lineup. I really do. And the lineup's good. So it's going to be interesting to see. That's all a very, very long time away. But that's what David Price's injury had me thinking. In addition to, obviously, you know, get well soon, David Price. Yeah, because it's tough to see anybody injured. Eduardo Rodriguez will move into the Red Sox rotation. It'll be Porcello moving up a day, and then Eduardo Rodriguez on the series finale on Thursday. That's it for this show today. Yankees up 1-0 in this series with the Red Sox. Tied for first place. Tied for the best record in baseball. Both are 25-10. We've only just begun in this summer of 2018. Still the spring of 2018. So stick with it, and thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.